This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Pete on Sports with you until 6 o'clock. Nationals World Series 1 year anniversary celebration on the Fan, brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. Save 10% on windows and doors in October. Contact PaulHenrysWindows.com for details. One of the reasons why we can have this 1 year anniversary celebration is because of the gentleman that joins us right now, and that is Adam Eaton. What's happening, champ?
How are we doing today?
How are you, sir? How's the finger, by the way?
Oh, it's good. It's good. All healed up. It wasn't anything crazy. It was just one of those things where, if we push it at the end of the season there, it may not have been as good as it is now. So kind of have to take precautions in order for it to be, good 4 to 6 weeks out. But, I appreciate you asking that.
I remember you and I standing outside of a hotel room in Philadelphia, 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning after a Friday night game. We're just kind of chilling out there. And, going back to that 2019 season, and you've been through countless, you go all the way back to your time playing in college and going through your time in the pros, you've seen countless players, guys that look like can't-miss guys and somehow they miss, and yet every baseball player's ultimate goal is to try and do what you all did in 2019, to go through that full 162-game schedule, the exhausting pressure of the playoffs. As you've had, obviously, now time to reflect on that season, what allowed you personally as a player, just individually, without even talking about the rest of the team, as an individual player on that team, to manage through all of the things that go into becoming a world champion, because it's clearly one of the toughest things to do in all of sports?
Yeah, no, I've talked to Chad and a lot of the media people about, when you do raise that trophy, like you've said, the kind of the buildup, it's not just a one season, it's not, two seasons, it's not just a major league career, but really when you raise that trophy up, I feel like when every individual did, you kind of feel that it's, it depends on how old you are. If you're Fernando Rodney, it could be 35, years in the making. Ever since he was 5, 6, 7 years old, he was probably thinking about a World Series champion. And he put in some random day when he was 5 years old, throwing, whatever it may be at the wall, building up to being a World Series champ. For me, it was very similar. 5 years old, 6 years old in the backyard, wanted to be a World Series champ. And, as crazy as it sounds, that age was really when I started to work towards and getting the attributes, hopefully, to be able to, play high school baseball. And you play high school baseball and still have that dream in the back burner. And you get an opportunity to play college baseball, get people helping you out along the way, so many names. Can't sit here and name them all. And then, you get the opportunity to play professional baseball. You make the most of that. And like I said, sooner or later, if you're lucky enough, you get on a team like I was able to get on that really truly believed through a 162-game schedule, you're going to have the best come out on top, and just such a remarkable year. And like I said, you raise that trophy. Like I said, every day from an early age, I've worked for that. So when you raise it, it's kind of a sigh of relief and kind of almost like what's next type mentalities. It's quite surreal, to say the least.
You were coming off, obviously, a season in which you got MVP votes, and obviously Washington felt enough to trade for your services. It was your third team at that point. Was there any portion where you start to wonder as to, you know, hey, how is this going to go? Or did you look at it that, you know, hey, Washington is the one that called Chicago and tabbed me and wanted to bring me over here, even though you had obviously the shortened 2017 season because of the injury. But had going on to your third team, was there ever, you know, any concern about, hey, is this me? Or is it just a case of this team wanted me and I'm going to go here and obviously try and perform to that level? Because your year in 16 was incredible with the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, I think as an athlete, you don't really think anything. you have a job to do. You come every day to do a job, and you put in the work. You put in the preparation, and you can't really help who you're traded for or what you're traded for. You know, all of a sudden, I know I'm wearing a different jersey, and I better prepare my rear end off and be ready to play, and be excited to play. So that was kind of my thought coming over. And then, like I said, you get hurt, you can't really help it. It was kind of an unfortunate play that I had. And then I had some complications after that. But like I said, as an athlete, I mean, if you don't prepare and work your rear end off literally every second of the day, you know, you've been thinking about it, and you're thinking about outside things or what's going on or who's trading for what or, what those guys are doing or what I'm doing or if you're injured, you're gonna have a heck of a time mentally. So, like I said, I've just been always focused on the Washington Nationals once I got over here and how I can better those guys even when I was hurt, you know, trying to mentor the young guys, you know, Victor Robles and Juan Soto and, Andrew Stevenson when he came over and just trying to get those guys better in order for, you know, whenever they have an opportunity to play, to make the most of it. And even when you're hurt, you try to make the most of it. So, it's been all part of the plan. And 2019 to have an unbelievable season and have so many guys contribute, all came together really in the perfect storm in order to, you know, be successful.
Talking with Adam Eaton, a world champion for the Washington Nationals. And, you know, a lot of times those of us that sit here and talk about sports, I mean, I was lucky enough to play sports and play baseball at least to the junior college level. And, you know, we often talk about chemistry in a clubhouse. And the one thing that consistently came up about your group, especially in that 2019 season, was the chemistry that stayed strong despite, obviously, as you all know, it's a results-oriented business. Y'all are sitting there at 19-31. Questions are being asked left and right. People are wondering if your manager's going to survive, the next day and the next week, depending on how the performance goes for your club. But, you know, what keeps that bond strong amongst professional athletes in a situation like that where you know the results are not necessarily to the level of the people in the room because you all look around every day and hold each other accountable? But what was it about that group that enabled it to keep that strong bond that eventually paid off eventually in the end?
Yeah, well, like you said, it usually doesn't happen that way. I mean, when you don't have a bond in the clubhouse and things go to crap, so to speak, usually the first thing to go is the camaraderie of the clubhouse. Guys start to be a little divisional and kind of separate into their own little corridors, and guys stop talking because, you know, people are being successful, other people aren't. As a team as a whole is not being successful, and usually it falls apart at the hinges at that point on most, 99.9% of the teams. And that's probably the reason why you talk about the camaraderie. We're not supposed to be where we were, unless we stick together. People that watch baseball, you know, there's a lot of egos, there's a lot of different temperaments inside of a clubhouse. It's 25 guys plus 35, you know, throughout the season with coaches, with a lot of moving parts and a lot of different personalities. And when you can have them on board when you're unsuccessful, I mean, you can only imagine, again, what we could do when we had everything on board and we were really successful. Like I said, you see us take off and do what we did. So I think camaraderie was the only reason we won that World Series, to be honest with you. Yeah, the talent was remarkable, but we had talent and we stunk early. So, you can say talent this, talent that, but I think just the love for one another in the clubhouse, you know, the additions that, Rizzo had, you know, midway through the season, remarkable, and just added to the camaraderie, just added to the personalities that we already had within the clubhouse. I mean, I think that's one of Rizzo's strengths. It's the reason he, you know, got his extension. It's the reason Davey, of course, but they both got their extension was because they know the heartbeat of the clubhouse. They know what's going on in the clubhouse. They know, which is not the same everywhere, you know. Like I said, they were able to make some unbelievable additions. And, like I said, continue that heartbeat and kind of continue that ball rolling down that hill. And like I said, the proof's kind of in the pudding at the end when we won the World Series and after the start that we had. And it's pretty remarkable.
How strange was it to look around the clubhouse this year and not see a Ryan Zimmerman or a Howie Kendrick, who I know was obviously a good friend and celebrator of yours every time one of you hits a long ball? It's one of the great celebrations in all of sports. What was that like to look around the clubhouse and just not see that this year?
Where do you want to start with this year? I could talk an hour about how much this year sucked. I mean, everyone had masks on. Hell, I didn't know how half the freaking clubhouse anyways. Everyone had to be separated 6 feet apart. I mean, it wasn't even – I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is. But, yeah, it was different. What a distracting, just absolute cluster of a year. Like I said, when guys got hurt, they were sent to an alternate facility. Guys couldn't even travel on the road with us. We had assigned seats and rotating bus assignments. I mean, it was, like I said, even if you had those guys there, heck, you wouldn't see them half the time because of how time slots were and the weight room had to be regimented. It was it was brutal. So, it was definitely a different year. And I think most guys, I think besides the Dodgers might probably want to forget about it. But like I said, it was something that it was very much outside the norm. Tough for a lot of guys. You know, young players that need some guidance, some push, you know, and some, you know, funneling too. You don't have those top-tier guys. Even when you're on the DL, it's so nice, during the season you can still have an impact. Whereas this year you had the plague. You know, you were gone, isolated on alternate site, not seen from or heard from until you were healthy. And that's just, like I said, very, very different. And, like I said, hard to imagine, but yeah, same thing with Zim, opted out and good for him. I guess same token, you know, he has that opportunity. Well, you know, he wants to keep his family safe and tough situation, but we missed him. Like I said, that guidance and that leader in the clubhouse is tough just to, all of a sudden be removed and hardly be able to be filled in that time frame. So tough year.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, when Howie started going through the hamstring issues and stuff, you just want, and you know this, obviously, you dedicated your whole life to it, you just want guys like that to call their own shot and be able to conclude things their way. And I think there's a lot of hope that, you know, Howie will try to give it a go one more time in 2021 with whatever baseball season we have with that. As we are in the situation we're in, you know, does that affect how you get ready for 2021, whether, you know, they offer to re-sign you here or somewhere else? I think there's going to be somewhere else for Adam, but how does this situation affect your preparation now for that 2021 season? Does it make it any different at all for you?
No, I've already started with the shortened season and I wasn't even able to prepare for this year. Everything's been shut down. So I was doing push-ups and sit-ups in my backyard. So I'm pretty damn fresh right now. So I've already got back to work and swinging and moving about. No stopping here. Ready, you know, I'll be ready to go and I'll be in pretty damn good shape because, like I said, 60 games, you know, getting hurt and only playing 45 as well as really not being able to work out at all beforehand. I'm feeling pretty fresh. So I'll get back to work a little bit earlier.
Yeah, man, just put the kids on your back, and they can be weight apparatus for you. You know, keep doing those.
Man, I was squat. Honestly, I know it sounds crazy, but I'm not Rocky by any stretch of the imagination. But I would be log splitting, and no, I mean, I'd put a log on my shoulders and do squats because, I mean, there's nothing open, and I keep baseball and everything separate from my family. I'm not gonna have baseball in my, really not baseball, but like workout facility equipment in my house. I just you know, when I'm at work, I'm at work, and when I'm at home, and I'm at home. And, you know, I have a bike downstairs and whatever I could find outside. Like I said, it was quite a cluster. I'm just trying to get prepared for this season, so a little different.
Have we made any automobile purchases of late?
I actually bought a 1954 GMC truck. I'm pretty fired up about it. You know, I'm kind of going into the old school retro looking trucks and cars now, and I love it. You know, the new stuff's nice and comfortable, but there's not quite like a time machine where you get into a truck that's had 70 years of wear. And, you know, it's, like I said, really going back in time, kind of an historic piece. So plus you get people, you know, car guys and people alone that it's pretty cool that you have a 70-year-old, you know, car that's still on the road and operating. So, yeah, we're enjoying that for now.
Awesome piece of equipment. Who would have known that when the journey started in Missoula, Montana, that it would certainly carry you to a world championship? Well done, my friend. And I know on behalf of all the Nationals fans, we appreciate all your efforts to aiding this team to a world championship, allowing us to celebrate that moment, which we'll do again at the top of the hour with a broadcast of game number 7. Continued success. Best of luck here in your preparation in the offseason, and I know we look forward to seeing you somewhere in 2021.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate it. Adam Eaton joining us here on 106.7 The Fan. And again, I mean, that's a guy that was coming off of a year where he got MVP votes in 16. Mike Rizzo pulled the trigger, gave up assets, which at that time, and I continue to stress this at that time, everybody wants to have revisionist history on the trade. You look at the assets they gave up at that time, and in particular, Lucas Giolito, he was not pitching anywhere near the caliber of maturity that he pitched certainly this year with the White Sox leading them to a playoff berth. And it's easy to have revisionist history on that deal right now, but it is hard to play better than Adam Eaton did in all facets, particularly in the World Series in 2019. And ultimately, you decide and you talk about people based on their contributions, you know, in terms of winning championships. Adam Eaton was a glue piece to the 2019 World Championship here. And you know what? If some point Lucas Giolito leads the White Sox or another organization to a championship, good for him. But the one thing we know here, Adam Eaton contributed and was a significant contributor to our world championship here in Washington. Your thoughts on some of the things Adam had to say and your thoughts on the Nationals anniversary. Also talking to the Washington football team. We'll get back to your calls. As always, much respect for your opinions. And
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Your show, 1-800-636-1067. AAA Always On Call listener line. Speed on Sports with you till 6 o'clock on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. 2 hours in the books, two more to go. 6 o'clock, Nationals and the Houston Astros Game 7 of the World Series. The anniversary of the celebration brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. Save 10% on windows and doors here in October. A couple more days to go. Contact paulhenryswindows.com for details. It's a Football Friday on 106.7 The Fan, presented by Wise Markets. Time to talk a little Washington football with J.P. Finley, of course, who covers the team for NBC Sports Washington. Finley, how are you on this bye week?
Hey, Pete, I'm doing well, man. I got to say, that Brock Lesnar update was something else.
Okay. No. He's trying hard, and he's trying to be like you one day, JP. He wants to be like you and guys like, you know, Michael Jenkins, Chick Hernandez. He wants to be amongst the great anchors of the area. Bye week, chance to decelerate a little bit, or is it basically waiting for your phone to buzz with activity that this team may indeed make a deal over the next 24 to 48 hours?
I'm not, I mean, I'll keep the phone on, don't get me wrong, but I'm not holding my breath. I don't know that there's really the big market in the NFL like we see in the NBA and Major League Baseball. It's just rentals. It's not a sport really built for a short-term rental. I do think, like to me, if Green Bay trades for Will Fuller is a home run. That just makes so much sense because it gives them a deep speed threat and you've got the quarterback. But you need, like, the exact right situation. I think the only real situation that would make a lot of sense for Washington is if Sam Fran calls about Ryan Kerrigan. We know that, you know, Nick Bosa is done for the year out west. That Niners team is still super physical. They're going to compete for that division title. I think they'll certainly make the playoffs. Every football team in the universe can use pass rushers. Kerrigan has 2 sacks in his last 23 snaps. And Washington and San Fran have already done a deal together this year. So whatever gap existed between Washington and Kyle Shanahan and the Niners, Ron Rivera has already kind of ended that. So that one to me makes sense. I just don't know. I don't know, honestly, what a good enough draft pick is for Ron to tell Dan that he's trading Ryan Kerrigan. It's Ryan Kerrigan's a big deal in this town. He's now the franchise sack leader. I think ownership would want probably a 4th. I don't know that you get anything above a 5th. I don't know that it'll happen.
Let's turn the question around. I know Cornelius Lucas, at least for one game, gave you a good game at offensive tackle this past week. Would you be interested in at least looking around at a guard or tackle, in particular if Minnesota made Riley Reiff available on the cheap? If you're Washington, would you look to fortify your roster if the price was ultimately right?
Honestly, I say no. I unless it's a 7th, a conditional 6th or something, I don't think this team should give up any assets going forward. And that's not to say if something crazy presents itself and they can get Michael Thomas or, you know, I mean, you never know crazy situations, but I don't think they should be buying at the deadline. And I recognize they're legitimately in this NFC East battle. They really are. That's a real thing. And it's easy to be dismissive of, but I do think for Ron and for the pieces in this organization that are ideally supposed to be part of this long-term rebuild, I think there's value in the NFC East and going to the playoffs, even if it's a, you know, a one-game appearance. I think there's value in even being in the hunt in the second half of the year and having that more intense competition. That said, I would not add to this team if it's something that's going to cost you down the road. And I'd rather have more draft picks next year, more salary cap space next year. And that's another part of people just say, like, oh, trade away everybody. But, I mean, a guy like Kerrigan might get you something compensatory in 2022. Brandon Scherff, I think, overwhelmingly likely will get you something compensatory the following year. So I wouldn't be in any hurry to deal, and I certainly wouldn't be looking to put draft assets on the table.
How much of last week was fool's gold?
I don't think it was fool's gold. I mean, Washington is way better than Dallas, but Dallas is terrible. So I think they're 2-1 in the division. They easily could be 3-0 in the division. I very much think they are competitive in the division. Now, what that means, so the way I look at it, Pete, is the rest of the way, they got 9 games left. They got to win at least 4 of them if they're even going to be in this conversation. And I think if they can win 5, if they can go 5-4, I think they win. I think they win the NFC East. So it's about who you're going to beat. You got three division games, Giants, Cowboys, week 17 against Philly. And then can you pick up one more? Can you beat the Bengals? Can you beat the Panthers? Can you beat the Lions? Those are legitimate questions. And I don't think they're going to sniff the Seahawks or the Niners or the Steelers, but I think they can be competitive against those other teams.
I was going to say, I mean, we talked about the rest of the division. And, you know, I think the Giants game, believe it or not, JP, tells us an awful lot here coming up after the bye. If you win that game, then Ron can keep touting the same message. If you lose that game, then that just exudes pretender all the way if you can't beat the Giants coming out of the bye week. Because, look, if you dominated the second half of that game against them in New York, and it looked like you were the better football team, sometimes the better football team doesn't win, as we often, you know, see. But I think that game alone tells us an awful lot about the second half coming up here and how they perform in that contest. Look, just like Terry McLaurin said, I love the young fellow stepping up and even respected the veterans. He said, hey, I know I'm a young dude, but just oblige me for a minute. And he said, remember this feeling, you know? And I guess we're going to find out if they really enjoyed that feeling of beating the Cowboys this past week, because to me, there's got to be a renewed confidence, especially for the guys, JP, that you know have been here and have not had a lot of success. And I know this is where this pandemic kind of stinks. Guys that you would normally be able to have better conversations with, side by side and one-on-one in these bases. I would love to hear from some of those guys about what they truly feel is different now for this team and how much fresher it must be in that locker room with Ron Rivera, and at least it looks like there's hope within that locker room for positivity going forward.
For sure. I mean, if you think about the situation through 6 weeks this year to last year, the record was the same, but you had already fired a coach. It's entirely different in that seems like Ron's in charge and has a good control of the team. Even just think about the week leading up to the Cowboys game, where the reports out of Dallas are that they hate the coach and he's not teaching them and there's all sorts of infighting. There's none of that in Washington. I mean, you do have the sideshow of the 2019 15th overall pick that's inactive. But if you can separate that from everything else going on, I mean, when you hear Terry McLaurin talk about how much he loves Kyle Allen and how much energy Kyle Allen brings to practice and to the sideline, that stands out to me that they're behind that guy. And I think you've got young guys, McLaurin, you mentioned, Chase Young is a leader. He might not be a rah-rah speech guy, but he puts the work in, and I think he kind of commands that of everybody else. I think there's a reason. Certainly it helps to be in your second year in the NFL, but I think there's a reason Montez Sweat's playing so much better. You're right. I mean, that Giants game, I think the Dallas game was a must-win if you're going to be serious about this claim of competing in the NFC East. And then I think you can say the same thing about the Giants, because there's no way they should have lost that game. It's just Kyle Allen's turnovers. I mean, that's the truth. That's the only reason they lost that game. And you got to wonder now, listen, I liked the call in the moment and I'm still cool with it. But if Ron just kicks the extra point, goes to OT, I mean, the Giants were completely incapable of doing much offensively in the second half. But maybe you even get the tie, and then you have the same record as Philly. Because that tie, I think, is why Philly's going to win the division. And that's just pretty terrible, I think.
No, I agree with you. 7-8-1, Trump's 7-9. So, I mean, that's when you start trying to play that game of look down the road at potential wins. You're exactly right. That half a game could potentially make a big difference. You mentioned Chase Young there for a moment. I want to talk about him for a second. And at least through seven games, I'm watching a guy at the NFL level that, yeah, we see him rushing the passer. We see him getting hurries. We see him setting a terrific edge against the run. We've even seen him in a couple of packages for Jack Del Rio drop out in the flat and provide, some coverage in zone and things of that nature. But you mentioned Montez Sweat. I think Chase Young is helping this team get more and what we thought they would get out of Montez Sweat. His film at Mississippi State was ridiculous. You look at the energy that he's playing with. I think it's a renewed energy. I think it's a renewed confidence in his play. He's made a couple of incredible pursuit plays for this defense so far this year that I'm not sure would have been made last season. And I think that's also to the effect of what Chase Young is bringing to this team. Just your thoughts on guys that we're seeing at least now more progress out of. And look, I mean, those guys up front play well. That means the linebackers should play better. And at least for 1 week, we saw Cole Holcomb do that for this team at the linebacker spot, which badly needed a boost in its level of play.
Big time. I think Holcomb being on the field for them really helps. He's got really good speed and kind of just flashes some playmaking ability. But I think when Jack Del Rio explained how selfless and outstanding Chase Young's play has been, I don't know. You know, it's my job to be on all these press conferences and to hear and read what these guys say. But Jack Del Rio does not give out a lot of praise. He is not to congratulate folks. And the way he talked about Chase Young, similar to what I said earlier about the way McLaurin talked about Kyle Allen, the way Del Rio talked about Chase Young really stood out to me too. And it was incredibly positive. And I think Jack said that, you know, don't worry about the sack numbers. That kid's having a just tremendous impact on our defense. And guys like, I mean, he named Montez Sweat and Jonathan Allen as guys that were benefiting from Chase Young being on the field. And not to mention, Montez is in his second year. He kind of came on quietly in the second half of last season, and the team was so bad we didn't pay much attention. But, I mean, they could have a seriously formidable pass rush duo with those guys on the edges.
Two things, and then I'll let you out on them. Running back, Randy Jordan deserves an awful lot of credit because I think what we're seeing them ask Antonio Gibson through seven games to do at a position that – look, he took a handful of snaps at Memphis in that position. He was basically a wide receiver. I watched every one of his games in college. What Randy has done with him so far to get him up to speed to playing at this level, and we're slowly starting to see Scott Turner expand the package. We saw him set up a tunnel screen with him outside the numbers last week, even though they didn't execute it well. But you're starting to see Scott maybe have a little more confidence in expanding the package. I think Randy deserves an awful lot of credit getting Antonio Gibson up to speed at a brand new position at the professional level with what he's been able to do through seven games, because we're seeing progress and incremental progress each and every week.
I agree. You know, they liked Antonio Gibson enough they cut Adrian Peterson. So that tells you a lot about the type of talent they think he has. I think Scott Turner likes him a lot. I think you got to give some credit to Jennifer King also. Who's the assistant running backs coach and has been – I think there were some rough moments with Gibson early on in camp when his head was spinning a bit, and I think Randy and King kind of stayed in his ear. I think J.D. McKissic has really been helpful too because he's another wide-out turned running back. Those guys seem to have a good vibe, good room, and it's interesting to see what that young guy's ceiling is because he's got the speed, he's got the shake, but the power is really there. And if he can harness that, I think he needs to get a little more patient, wait for his cuts a little bit more, particularly in the run game. But if he can put that all together, that could be a pretty special player.
You know, we made it through a whole conversation without the mention of number seven. That saga doesn't end this weekend, does it?
I don't think so. Bovada put out, I tweeted it out. I think it was yes that Dwayne Haskins gets traded plus 350 and no was minus 600. Confirm that on my Twitter, but no, I don't think. Here's the problem is you got to find a partner. Like you need a dance partner. And if you can't, how on earth would you assess the proper trade value for Dwayne Haskins?
I'm with you 100%.
He's overall pick 2 years ago.
Yep.
I mean, what Washington would want back versus what plenty of teams around the league would be willing to give, I just don't know that I see it. I understand that he wants a fresh start, and frankly, I don't blame him. I understand if he wants a fresh start, and I wouldn't blame him because, dude, they've got him sitting behind a 36-year-old Listen, I like Alex a lot, but the fact that Alex is now the backup and Dwayne's inactive is a pretty big sign of what's going on there.
JP Finley, appreciate it, pal. Enjoy the lack of having to go to FedEx Field this weekend for you and many of the other beat writers out there. Appreciate the time.
Will do. Thanks, man. Take care.
You got it. JP Finley of NBC Sports Washington at JP Finley NBCS. You can talk about those odds he was just referencing on his Twitter feed about whether they would indeed deal Dwayne Haskins this week. And it's a Football Friday on 106.7 The Fan, presented by Wise Markets. We'll take some of your calls, reaction to what JP said. We've got Adam Eaton coming up at the top of the hour, as well as we celebrate the 1 year anniversary of the World Series with that broadcast coming up at 6 o'clock tonight right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Yes, we always want to break on through to the other side. One of the greatest ever. Fantastic entertainer. You know, a lot of the great musicians, because we have all this fancy equipment now to help musicians sound great, including my son, who's a budding amateur rapper up in the Pittsburgh area. He's got a lot of stuff on Instagram. He's got more downloads than you could shake a stick at. It's been incredible to watch. But a lot of that is helped by music created by, you know, computers and other different stuff. I mean, back in the day, man, the musicians had to bring the music themselves. And, you know, I think that's some of that natural, incredible creativity we've lost a little bit with all of the technology that's even come in to help our musicians and make them sound even better. Pete on Sports with you, 1-800-636-1067. That's how you get with us on the AAA Always On Call listener lines here on a Friday afternoon. Adam Eaton coming up at the top of the hour. Going to reminisce about the one-year anniversary of the World Series coming up then. We've had Mike Florio, Charlie Slows, and J.P. Finley. You can find those interviews at radio.com by hitting the rewind feature. A little miscellaneous file here. Tip of the cap to Chad Ashton, who took over under very difficult circumstances for Ben Olsen at D.C. United. Four-match streak going on right now. Three of those wins for D.C. United. They're at New England, the big game on Sunday. New England has beaten D.C. in two of the last five. The other three were ties. If you like D.C. this weekend, this might be a little appetizing, tasty morsel for those of you that dabble in this stuff. D.C. United is plus 550 against New England on the road coming up on Sunday night. You heard Brock talk about it in the update. Maryland and Minnesota tonight, Big Ten football coming up. Big Ten, of course, already having to cancel a game this weekend. Well, the issues out at Wisconsin. And look, it was a disaster for Maryland in their opener. There's no other way to categorize it. But there, and I saw some things on Twitter that really bothered me about the way Maryland was evaluated last week. Nobody has had anywhere near the proper preparation for any of this stuff. And I'd even entertain a couple of you that called in about the Terps. If you're headed out maybe somewhere to watch this game coming up tonight with your fellow Marylanders, I'm not judging any college football team by their performance this year. I'm not judging any coaches, any athletes, whatever, because there was nothing all summer. These teams did nothing. And basically, we're told on the fly, you're going to play some games, get ready. And that's what they did. It was certainly a disaster in the opener for the Terps. I think it's going to get better. There were some things, you know, unloaded about Mike Locksley and stuff and their performance. It's completely unfair. Completely unfair to judge anybody by the way they'll play this fall. I mean, the Big Ten went from not playing at all to all of a sudden, oh, okay, we're going to play. We want that TV money. Get ready. So, not judging anybody by what occurs this year. It's impossible to evaluate these guys. They're basically playing exhibition football so they can get that TV contract money, so they can get the big check at the end of the year for their respective athletic programs. That's all that is. That's all it is this year. That's all it is. I'll have the call of Navy and SMU coming up. Mids are in action down in Dallas. That game comes up tomorrow night. And look, the American, man, every week in the American Athletic Conference, it's great football, and you're going to play a great team. Another one key game for both of these teams. We each have one loss in the American coming up. Your thoughts, though, at 1-800-636-1067. Do the Washington football team front office have to make a move this week to get you to buy in a little bit more? Because I think when we evaluate now what's happening here with this football team, we've got to separate We've got to separate business side and football side. Football side, as we've known all spring and summer with Ron Rivera, we've known what we have there. We know that commodity. Jason Wright has given us hope that those guys on the business side, where all the bad things are happening, they're going to get that figured out. They're going to clean up that culture over there. And we just have to sit back and watch that, because we don't have any access to that. We don't see that. You know, people tweet. They love to tweet over there. Hey, everything's going great. Okay, that's fine. That's great. That's great. Clean it up. You know, get people in there and sanitize that as good as possible. Because eventually you're going to need people to come back into the building to watch these games and root for your team and not root for the other team. You know, we can talk about it. We go back to even when Susan O'Malley used to market the other team. Hey, Shaq's coming in this weekend. Come see him. Because that's the way the NBA markets itself. If you're the Washington football team, you had to sell tickets right now, how would you market your team? Come see 99? I mean, right, come see 99? Hey, come see Kyle Allen play this weekend. I mean, really? Until we see a little bit more from him, outside of Chase Young, how would they market this franchise right now? Come see Riverboat Ron coach? I mean, you know? I mean, how would you market this team right now? I think it's a very valid question. If Jason Wright had to sell more than 3,250 tickets, which are easy to come by, and as we saw, you know who those Redskin diehard fans are on Twitter, the Tailgate Teds, the Who Is Susie Q's, they got tickets, and they should. If they didn't, they should sue. Of course, they can't sue. Everybody else already suing Dan, and Dan's suing them. For good reason, I might add, in some respects. You can't let people just, you know, destroy you with fiction. So, but, you know, it's like, like Brock points out. I mean, you know, like Susan O'Malley, you say, hey, come see Sadale 3. All right. Come see Andrew Toney and the Sixers. Yeah. Go. Everybody's going to get excited. Go down to Capitol Center and watch those games. If you're the Washington football team, who are you marketing right now? Outside of 99, whose jersey are you going to buy right now to wear to the stadium if you're one of the 3,250? I mean, I'm sure some of you have Kerrigan jerseys because he's been here a while. But, you know, I mean, I go look upstairs in my closet. I mean, I got an RG3, I got a Smoot, I got a Cooley. If I wanted to go buy another jersey, who would I buy? Who would you buy? Who's the guy on this team that you are most excited to market the franchise around? 99? 17? I'm going to tell you what, 17 took a big step in the locker room this past week. You know, we loved that guy already. We knew he was a really good, talented player at Ohio State playing with other talented players. I mean, little did we know that he could bring Washington that Paris Campbell element that Paris Campbell brought to Ohio State for Dwayne Haskins. I mean, those cats made Dwayne Haskins the number 15 pick in the draft. Now, Dwayne's got to make the plays too. Dwayne's got to throw him the football, but they all helped each other. They all helped each other. But we love what 17's not only brought to the field, but the leadership inside the room. It's brought a sense of maturity and a guy that when they look at him inside the locker room, when that guy talks, his play backs it up. We talk about it all the time. When I talk to young kids out in the public, and I talk to college athletes, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, those are just tags that they use to identify what year you're in. Leadership is how you play on the field. Any dude can roll into the locker room and toss a table and throw the Gatorade bucket, throw a water bottle, they do all that stuff. But if the dude that doesn't play, like, you know, I mean, if the 53rd guy who's playing a couple snaps on the punt team or he's on kick coverage and he goes in there and he taps the Gatorade table over, everybody's going to be like, dude, you look, what are you doing? But when a Terry McLaurin or a Chase Young, a guy that's been there, how about Thomas Davis? The film that we go back and we've seen on Thomas Davis trying to explain to Dwayne Haskins about, you know, telegraphing where you're going with the football. You bring a veteran like that in here so he can help a young player like that. And that's why you bring that kind of leadership in here. That's why you have an Alex Smith here. Despite everything he's gone through, you keep him around here. You want him around here because that's the kind of wisdom you want him to impart on the other players. And I think what you're seeing with this young core developing, you know, we talked about it in the last segment. You know, this team 2 years ago was searching for any dude that could make a play. Now all of a sudden, you're starting to see this guy, this guy, this guy, that guy, both sides of the ball. I mean, how good has Kendall Fuller been this year? I know it's relative and it's in relative anonymity in the back, but we haven't seen Kendall Fuller chasing many guys, catching passes behind him, running for touchdowns. Haven't seen that. They're not throwing at that guy. There's a reason they don't throw at you. It's because you're covering your man. How great has he been? You look at some of the analytics numbers that are out there. Kendall Fuller is way up there in a lot of those. I don't need analytics to tell me when I watch the film, I see that guy covering his man. What an acquisition to bring him back here that was for this team at a position of need. You know, sometimes you bring guys back because they've been here before. This case, this is a new group coming in that brings him back. And he's playing outstanding football for them right now. So when you start to look around at a roster that 2 years ago was in search of, like the old TV show, they were in search of dudes. They were holding up advertising, Jay Gruden just begging for some guy to develop. Please come make a play for me. Somebody, just somebody. I'll take anybody. Any dude in this locker room, you could emerge. Please step up. Make a play for me. Now all of a sudden you look around, and at least there's just sliver of hope right now. And as I said, you know, when Vic was getting all excited and he was talking about the 50-50 matchups, and then he brought up San Francisco and Seattle, and I had to throw the brakes on him right there. I had to throw the brakes on him. I said, Vic, hold on, big fella. I know they got some great stores down there on 210, sell some tasty adult beverages. You start talking Seattle and San Francisco, that's a little bit of a different animal. But at least with Young and Fuller and Sweat and perhaps got to see it again from Cole Holcomb. What, dudes have a game. Every dude has a game. Let's see it a little bit more from 55. Then I'll buy in. Need to see that again. Great use by Jack Del Rio, though, this past week against the Cowboys. Certainly worked out for him. But on the offensive side, we got 17. We got 24. You know, we don't know what we've got still in some of the other skill positions. But at least for now, there are athletes that give you hope. This team might be able to figure it out. Adam Eaton's up at the top of the hour. We're going to talk World Series memories, the one-year anniversary of the Nationals World Championship. Brought to you by Paul Henry's Windows Installation. Save 10% on windows and doors in October. PaulHenrysWindows.com for more details. We'll continue on a Football Friday on The Fan, presented by Wise Markets on 106.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.